Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific time, only on Netflix.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Seen lightning strike twice? Well, now you have about that!
Meatball Molly McCann!
Yeah. That'll do it! Matt Bobola and his steam rolling best tonight!
Like I said, I'm just getting more comfortable in here every time. And you know, you're going to be seeing a lot more of me. Ray Longo, Matt Serra, Matt Arroyo. I'm nothing without my team.
Matt! The Steamroller Fribola!
Oh! That's a Pineda!
That's it!
That's
what
I'm talking about!
Done it again!
That's why!
His next UFC fight will indeed be for the undisputed UFC middleweight title.
Alex Pereira!
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We have a very packed show today, Matt. We have Molly McCann, who will be joining us in a moment or two. Matt Fravola, who I know is a good buddy of yours. And Alex Pereira, of course, fighting for the middleweight championship, the main event this Saturday at the Garden. I cannot wait for UFC 281. Are you going?
No.
This is the first one I'm going to. I'm taking my nephew. I haven't been in years.
That's good.
It's been because of the pandemic I didn't go, and I've been touring. So, yeah, I can't wait to get to a live event again.
I kind of planned on going with you, and then I heard you going with your nephew, and then I'm like, oh, well, Jimmy's going to say, man, me and you and my nephew can go. And then all of a sudden, I didn't get an invite. So I guess, you know what? I'm getting a little spoiled because I watched the last one with you.
I know.
You're like, you just want to watch it with me, and then you don't, and I get sad.
I would rather go with you. I'd rather go with you and him because I'll get better tickets if I'm with you. I guarantee.
I know he's blood, and I know this is extremely immature. There's a boat sinking. Who would you go to rescue?
Voss.
We got Molly McCann today. Let's get Molly in.
Yeah, Molly McCann, who we love. Two spinning elbow wins in a row, which is kind of crazy, fighting Erin Blanchfield on Saturday night. Yeah, she's a very fast rising star, and Blanchfield's 9-1. So this is going to be a great matchup. This whole card is good, man. I am very, very psyched.
She's very good at jiu-jitsu, Erin.
Yes, Blanchfield.
Yeah.
Frankie Edgar's fight. Last fight is he's retiring after this, which is kind of depressing, but I'm happy that he's going out the way he wants, fighting in New York. Mm. Wow, there are some good fights.
We're going to go over the whole damn card.
Dude, Ryan Spann against Dominic Reyes is on the prelims. How fucking crazy is that?
I don't even want to look at it yet.
Riddell against Hanato Moicano. Moicano is the final fight. I don't want to say the main fight of the prelims. This is a tremendous card.
Well, let's do. Oh, Brad Riddell versus Hanato Moicano.
Yep.
It means no worries.
And Matt is fighting Ottoman Zaitare.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's going to be exciting. And we're going to talk to him. But first, yeah, let's bring in Molly McCann.
Yeah, let's bring her in. There she is.
Oh, look at this one.
Hi, Molly.
We've been waiting here, Molly.
So have I. Hi, guys.
Molly, we were talking about you last night, me and my friends. Oh, damn right you're in New York City.
I didn't know that.
Guess where I was last night, Molly? At your stomping grounds, Mateo's. I didn't have orange soda, but I went. If you look on my Instagram, we were at Mateo's, me and my squad. Of course, Abe, who found you your orange soda that you like so much. And we were saying, yo, the last time we were here, well, that one time we were here, we go there a lot, with Molly and Dean Thomas. What a fucking good time.
Where's Mateo's?
It's in Huntington, Long Island, Jimmy. And I'll tell you, Molly, if Jimmy would have took you out Olive Garden, let me tell you, it's not the same thing. It's not the same fucking thing. He'll take you. Listen, he talks about the breadsticks. Listen, Olive Garden and Mateo's, it's not the fucking same thing.
Levels, Matt. There's levels.
There is levels. Speaking of levels, look how I segue.
Yes, but beautiful.
What if you slip? God, you are so dynamic. You scare Jimmy Bird when you fight.
Yes.
What if you slip and she ends up on top? What the fuck's going to happen? Molly.
Do you want me to tell you what happens?
How's the car? Look at my shirt. Arm bars. May the force be with you. This is an embarrassing shirt. I don't really wear this out, but I wear it when I like to take limbs.
What happens, Molly? It's a fair question. He's right. What does happen if you slip?
Yes.
Yeah. What happens is if I'm in half guard, I get a full guard, I get up, I take the back, or I wake for a triangle, wake for an arm bar, get up. What happens if she's inside? I stop and progress into half to mount. What happens if she takes me down to the cage? The stuff, get up, get out. What happens if she holds me against the cage and I gate the wrestling, push her off, get out? That's what I do, lad. That's what I'm trained to do.
Interesting. The way you just said that to you, like you had like a very specific answer for each. As a fighter, I know you know that, but when you're training for someone who is as good on the ground as she is, are they drilling this into your head so it's almost automatic, like step one, step two, step three, just so it's there, or are you just saying that because you know it?
No, so do you know, we've got systems in place now where I learn better with a system. So in striking, I had a striking system. If you look at anyone in our gym now, we have a system from the floor to the cage up. And I believe for like the last year, I've been drilling that system and I know it. So remember, Matt, last time we spoke, you was like, this girl holds you on the floor. She's this, she's that, she's the other. She didn't get me there because the system against the wall worked and I got out. I dropped her nearly. She held onto the leg, went for some leg lock, pushed her off, got up, told her to get up, elbows are facing. I'm not just a one-dimensional fighter anymore. I'm not just hands. I'm not just knees and elbows. I am a mixed martial artist now, and I'm only looking to go to the top. I'm only looking to fight Shevchenko. So if I can't beat you, Erin Blanchfield, I don't deserve to be thinking I can fight for the title. So
right,
we want to level up. I don't even see it as it's nothing I'm apprehensive about. I've started in those, you know, she's a killer on the floor, she's fucking sick, but I've started there every day in camp and I'm up, lads. I'm fucking up.
And yeah, the top, I mean, you fight the top of the division, you're gonna have to fight all style. There's no way to, I mean, there are people who will try to structure their fight so they get the comfortable styles, but that always winds up biting somebody. Because if you're a welterweight and you don't like fighting, you know, wrestlers, well, you're in a lot of trouble. You're not going to ever win the championship. So yeah, that's a smart attitude to have, that if you can't beat her, you don't deserve a shot at the title right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I learned, someone said today, she's the best grappler. She thinks she's far superior, but she's not Gillian Robertson. She doesn't get you to the floor, take the back, and you get, like, finished in fights. She holds you there. She waits for you to mess up, and I'm not going to. She's not Talia Santos. What she is she's like a big, heavy bag, and she restricts, controls, and she doesn't do much damage. She's not a finisher. So what I've been preparing for is a grueling three round. Worst case scenario, it goes the whole way. I have to stuff, strike, get up, strike. I always practice the worst case scenarios, just like I always practice the best case.
And it's good that you're fighting right off. You know, your last fight was Hannah Goldie, and she's she's a powerful chick, man, and she wanted to get a hold of you, and that did not work out well, like you said, you know? So it's so great when you have that answer, like what Jimmy said, you gave boom, 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 you've cross-eyed in full guard. I get the half guard, I get the full guard. You know what you're talking about, your system. It would have been pretty shitty if you're like, ah, I'll sprawl. I would have been like, oh, you might be in trouble here. She might sprawl. But that's good.
Yeah, buddy. Look, I'd be naive to think that she is. Anyone now, Matt, if they feel my power, will probably look to take down. So I'd be naive not to have a plan B and a plan C. But I've brought out Olympic squad wrestlers for this camp. I've brought out world-class kickboxers. I'm not sure if you know, she's called Victoria Anthony. She just left the US national team. She's doing MMA now. I brought her out for a bit. She's in San Diego. She's out there. So I brought her over. I've done as many rounds as I can possibly do. And I'm leveling up every fight. Do you know what I mean, Matt? I'm not just, I'm going to punch your head in. I'm not even this loudmouth anymore, Matt. There's no bravado. I'm just working hard. And I just want to win, lad. I just want to win. And I'm going to do it. I just promise you. If there's any doubters, they won't doubt me. And even if it turns into a bit of an Usman and Leon Edwards, I know I've got that in me. I know I could, worst case scenario, two rounds down. She's not going to have the lungs. She's not going to have the muscles to keep me down in that fade, because I'm not letting my city down. I'm not letting Liverpool down. I'm not letting England down. I'm not letting Ireland down. I'm not letting myself down.
The elbows you've thrown in the last two fights, which that Carolina, I mean, that's one of the most devastating knockouts I've ever seen. It was a pure unconscious. It was beautiful. And then against Goldie, was that something you had practiced, or was it something that you did in that third round and then said, I'm going to try this again?
No, it's, if you watch me drill in the gym, I spin all the time. And when I spin, it would be a back fist, a back kick, or a back elbow, range dependent. But I don't land it in training because I don't want it injure my training partner. So I leave it for the fight night. But I'm not really thinking about it needs to come every fight. If I missed it, if I make a wrong step, she can capitalise and take me back in this fight. So it's a sacrifice throw, really, but as a strike. Do you know what I mean? Especially when you're against the grappler. But I've found a formula that works. And if the opportunity presents itself, I'll take it. And if it doesn't, then I don't need to throw it out. I'll bring it out in another fight. It's not me Hail Mary. I don't need to rely on it. But if I need to finish the fight, if there's a minute left and I could be down two rounds, then you best believe it's coming out.
I'll ask both of you this question, because the most famous spinning back fist that missed was Chael against Anderson Silva too, and that really cost Chael the fight because he fell. When you're fighting such a good ground fighter, is a spinning attack more of a risk because of the fact they can duck and grab you? Is that something that you're a little bit more cautious of against somebody who's so dangerous on the ground?
Last time you interviewed me, Matt said this was the hardest grappler I'd faced in Hannah Goldie. She was no slouch. And I still had the cahoonies to throw it. Yeah. If I know it's going to land, then I'm going to go for it. If it's not, I'm elevating in my fight IQ where I don't throw to miss, or I'm not just trying to get them out of here. Obviously, when I fought Luana, I had to put the fucking pace on it because she was that big. But no, it'll be a calculated fight on Saturday. I'll take my time. I'll be patient. And if she wants to engage in the grappling, I'll anti-grapple. I'll come back. But it could also be I surprise her and myself when I'm in there. So with the grappling is what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, Jimmy, just to add in on that, like, I have the bragging rights of being stopped with the very first back fist in the UFC by Shoni Carter ages, like, dude, 2001. I don't think Molly was born. It was ages ago. But, you know, it's, and then I fought him in the rematch. I got caught with a couple other ones. When you're a grappler, let's say if he leaves his leg up and you go to grab the leg because you want to get a hold of him. If they drop the leg to the side, if the leg, they drop the leg off, boom, your head's right there. So if a guy's just trying to get a hold of you, there's a lot of setups. I'll watch those fights now, and I see it from a mile away, you know. But I clocked in my sparring since then. But if a person's just trying to get a hold of you, if there's some setups where you leave the leg, you drop it when they hold, and so the back fist isn't as risky, I think, as you think, Jimmy.
Okay. So, and guys will do that, or fighters will do that, where they'll leave a trap for you, like leave your their leg a certain way, knowing you're going to rush in because that's 90% of what you do.
And then I did that shit like a moron like three times. Thank goodness, I got a million on me.
You've learned.
I've got some traps set. I know her fighting style. I know how she's going to be. If I didn't counter her strength, then I'd be foolish. So
I was going to ask about MSG. What do you think about, you fought there before or no, Molly?
No, I came, do you remember when I met you? I went to the fight after that. Amanda Serrano fought Katie Taylor. So I went and watched the boxing, and it was sick. It's everything I've ever dreamed of. Since I was a little kid and I was boxing, it's always MSG. You watch your Miguel Cotto's, your Muhammad Ali's,
right,
your Dempsey's,
yep,
your Conor McGregor's, your Katie Taylor's. I've seen them all in there in both combat sports, and it's something what you'd aspire to be. I've asked Mick Maynard 9-10 times, please can I have MSG? Please can I have MSG? And he's given me. But I don't see it as MSG. I fought in Vegas twice, Boston once, South Carolina once. It's America. It's not MSG. You know, I've fought away from home. I fought in Brazil against the Brazilian. Look, you know me, there's one thing you can count on is I'm going to always bring it, no matter how the occasion, how big it is. So.
Yeah, the New York crowd, New Yorkers love you, Molly. I think your attitude, it resonates with me and my people out here. Ain't that right?
We're the same. Look, we've had to face so much oppression, so much poverty. If you don't work, if you don't graft, you're not going to survive. Do you know what I mean? You're just not. And I think we're all funny. We all use humour to get by. When we train like fucking animals. And the second that we're done, let's go and get some food. And I represent England and Ireland, so some fights I'll be England, some fights I'll be Ireland. So I bought $40,000 worth of tickets and I've sold them all. So we're going to have some fucking Irish scousers in there. Molly, 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 Molly.
Hey, you know, as a fighter, I particularly, you know, people, you can tell us to fuck off, because people, when they ask me about another fighter, when I got somebody in front of me, I'd be like, I don't even want to entertain it. But Miranda Maverick has been calling you out. So let's say things go right. What do we have? Now, this girl thinks she's going to take you down and just smoke you like a joint. What do you think about it? I mean, why do people think, oh, she's so dangerous, I'll just take her down? It's not that fucking easy.
Do you know when Gillian Robertson was scheduled to fight Miranda? And I was in, I'd done that fight week with Gillian. And when the fight got cancelled because Gillian was sick, asked Dean Thomas, I said to Dean, ask Mick Maynard, I'll fight. This was on the Saturday fight day. I went, I'll fight her. And Mick said, you can't, the commission won't allow it because it's on the day. So I said, fine. So I've never dodged there. We spoke to each other, very cordial. If I've ever got the time and our schedules align, that's fine. And then she had a fight. And then after me big win, she came for me. And then after the last one, she came again. And I was drunk in the press conference. And I was like, why are you fucking saying my name again? Just let me have this moment.
Yeah.
Can I just please have this moment? I've had the toughest fucking career. Stop trying to latch on. And then I was like, fine, if you want fucking, I'll fucking fuck you, whatever.
Not even fight you. So fuck her.
Well, that's what we say in England. If I'm going to knock you out, I'm going to fuck you.
I love it.
Then she was like, yeah, my husband wasn't too happy. And I was like, whatever. So, and then she said it again on the weekends. Listen, I only fight what's in front of me. I only fight who's in front of me. So if she's not ranked above me, why should I fight her?
Well, you. You got nothing to prove, Molly. Take out whoever's got who's in front of you. And Jimmy says he wants to fuck me all the time. I thought it was an English thing, too. I didn't know what he was saying. Jimmy, cut the shit with that, will you please?
Well, it's just fun. I mean, that's how we. That's why we have such a fun show together. We have that tension.
Sexual tension.
No, I just like making him uncomfortable. It just makes me happy.
The latter.
I just like Matt to be uncomfortable. By the way, when you're in New York, do you do anything that's out of the ordinary here? Sometimes people just stay in the hotel, or I mean, it is New York. It's probably more interesting than a lot of places.
No, listen, I've been to New York about 6 or 7 times. I got in on Saturday. I stayed in Brooklyn for 2 days. Checked in here Monday. I've took my team round everywhere I can take them. Done the Brooklyn Bridge, done all the sightseeing. Took them to 9/11 just to pay a bit of respects. Done loads of stuff with Barstool. We're active. We're going to the basketball in like 3 hours. Going to go and watch the Knicks and the Nets. I've only got 4 pounds of cup, boys. So I'm literally eating pasta.
Oh, now you get me hungry. Yeah, let's go. She's in.
Let's fucking go,
Molly. Listen, Jimmy, there's nothing else to say. She's ready. She's fucking ready.
Yeah, if you're eating that week of fight, that's pretty amazing.
Hey, do you know what? I'm just fucking buzzing. Do you know when you're asking me that question? And my whole like year's worth of work, boom, 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 systematically correct. If one doesn't work, switch to another. I couldn't be more ready than I am. So it's all it comes down to who turns up on the night, because my skill set can outbeat her and hers can outbeat me if applied correctly, if one of us makes a mistake. So I'm fucking coming.
How much better do you feel too? You said you're a complete MMA fighter more just because of the way you've been training. How much better does that feel? How much more confidence does that give you going in, knowing that this weapon that she has is not necessarily a nightmare for you to have to deal with?
Look, it's not kryptonite to me. She could fight another grappler, as in Miranda Maverick, and still keep her on the floor for 3 rounds, like 12 minutes of control. So it gets everyone. It's not just the me thing. So look, I've fought grapplers. I've fought people who are absolutely amazing. I've knocked them out. Just let me dance.
Yes, let her dance, Jimmy. Jimmy, let her dance.
Well, look, we'll see you there Saturday. We have Matt Frivola's in the waiting room, but you're very, very exciting. And putting you on this card, it shows you they have a lot of faith in you. And they have a lot of faith in how much the fans love you. So have a great fight on Saturday. You've looked incredible in your last two. And we'll talk to you again.
Hey, I'm on the ale on Sunday. So if he's a local in Manhattan, come have some Guinness.
You're the best. All right, Molly, meet Paul McCann.
Good talking to you, Molly. Take care.
All our best.
Thank you.
UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Neds, the official wagering partner of the UFC in Australia. Aussie fight fans, keep an eye out for this weekend's UFC pay-per-view event as Neds offers a split decision return. This means if you place a head-to-head bet on any main card fight and your pick loses by split decision, Neds will pay you out as a winner. Plus, you can pump up your odds with a UFC multi simply by combining your favorite markets across all fights on the card. The action doesn't stop with UFC. Neds has everything you need to take it to the Neds level, regardless of what you bet on. For those sports punters, Neds Same Game Multi is now available on more sports than ever before. And for the racing fanatics, Neds Blended is available on all 3 racing codes. Blended lets you pick multiple runners to win in the same race at special blended odds. It's never been easier for you to be paid out as a winner. Look, whatever you bet on, take it to the Neds level. UFC markets exclude South Australian residents. Split decision return eligible on first $250 staked. Minimum blended odds are $1.10. Terms and conditions apply. Are available on the Neds website. Remember to always gamble responsibly. Please call 1-800-858-858.
She's so great.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, that's an original personality. I like that. Jimmy, yeah. I'll fuck you. Sorry, Jimmy. I'm not going to. I will never say that again. I bet I'll fight you. That's what they say. Instead of fight, they say fuck.
Yeah.
But we got Matty Favola. Steve Favola. Bring it on in. I said, Steamroller Favola. We open the doors. Come on in. Jimmy, I'm going to be visiting you next Thursday at your show.
I know you are. That's great.
And then I just realized that I'm going to like AC because I got fights that night. So that's going to be a crazy day for me. But I'm going to go off to Strong Island.
Are you?
Yeah.
That's crazy. You want to leave right from the city, just drive down to AC, take a nap. By the way, Zaitar is 13-0. He's undefeated. So I'm happy that Matt is getting this fight. This is not an easy fight.
He's just crazy enough to get it done.
Yep.
Oh!
Oh, there's Matt.
Oh, Matty. Who needs a fucking shirt? This is Sparta. It's not on yet. Sorry. Let's do this again now that the audio's working. Who needs a fucking shirt? This is Sparta. Yes?
But I couldn't hear anything.
Who needs a fucking shirt? This is Sparta.
No, I don't wear shirts fight week.
Okay. Well, do you like the movie 300?
I love it.
Fuck yeah, you do, Maddie. Maddie, do you care about this guy not having a zero on his record? Do you give a flying fuck?
No, not at all. I love fighting the guys. The last guy I fought was undefeated. This guy's undefeated. You know, somebody's got to humble him, and who better than me?
Now, you were supposed to fight, it's Ottman, right? Ottman, am I saying it right?
Ottman is Zaitar, yeah. Or Zaitar.
Azatar, I'm saying.
Oh, is it Azatar?
I don't know. You say it.
I say Zaitar. But I fuck up a lot of names. I'm sorry.
I play a lot of video games, and I think of Avatar, so I got to stop saying that. Anyway, Ottman. Undefeated. Jimmy, don't roll your eyes at me. I'm not a fucking, you know what I am? Look.
What?
The dad joke champion. Cut the shit. They're not all out of the park. But Matt, other people, they see this undefeated record and they're like, fuck my career. What am I going to do? You, and I know this because I know you, you get excited when they don't have a fucking loss. You want to be the first one to give it to them.
Yeah, I love it, man. I love it. You know, this dude's good. You know, he's good, but he hasn't been tested. And that's what I want to do. I want to really test him. I want to drag him to those deep waters and see if he could swim. But I don't think he can. Not with me.
His last three fights, his last four fights have been stoppages, but the last three have been TKOs in the first round. So I think that you're smart to look at deep waters. And how is he going to feel after a grueling first and second round? What's he going to be like going into the third round? That's probably the smart plan with him.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, as the fight goes longer, I only get stronger. You know, I'm prepared for three round war every time I step in there. And you know, that's what I want to do to this guy. Really, really take him to those deep waters, you know, utilize every aspect of mixed martial arts, show him my striking, show him my wrestling, show him my Sarah BJJ on the ground, you know, and I think I'm due to strangle someone. So that'd be nice.
You have such great fights. Your fight with the tarantula, who was like 6 foot something. I mean, people got to throw you. I want everybody to listen to throw Matt Favola into the UFC fight pass, the data bank there, and watch some of his fights. Because, dude, you, as far as wars, man, I don't know anybody who has been in so many damn wars. It's almost like a battle every time. And I think is really going to come into, it's really going to help you out in this fight. Because again, Ottman is knocking these guys out. How many wars has he been in? And if he has, at what higher level? I mean, who are these guys? Because I'm looking right now, and the last time how many fights went the distance? We don't even know. You know, because I don't see any in the UFC.
Hold on, Matt. I'll look that up.
Well, he's 2-0 in the UFC. That just ended up fast.
No, his third. I'm sorry to interrupt you, Matt. His third round fight was a TKO. But yeah, man, he's gone.
That wasn't in the UFC, though.
He did win a unanimous decision in 2016. But yeah, he spent very little time in the third round. Very little time.
Dude. Maddie's had, I mean, Lando, what's Lando's name? Vanata?
Yeah.
I mean, Maddie's had battle. You know, he hasn't had any easy fights, man. You know, that one dude that was juicing. I'm gonna forget that motherfucker. You know, Matty, there's no easy fights in the UFC. And you look at Matt Frivola's record, and Matt Frivola, the guys he fought, that'll show you. So I think everything leads up to now, Matty. Now is the time. In your backyard, this guy's coming.
Yep. And look, just like you said, you know, I look at this guy's record, and, you know, he's 2-0 in the UFC. He's undefeated, 13-0. And then the rest of his wins are, you know, wherever, somewhere else. But, like, I look at the guys I fought, you know. This guy is not the toughest guy that I've fought. You know, I've fought tougher guys than this guy. I'm the toughest guy this guy's ever fought. So, you know, I really want to go out there and test him and show him what's up. You know, he's coming to Madison Square Garden, and we're going to, you know, it's going to be a fun fight.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And I always wonder, and again, an undefeated fighter, I don't even know if they're aware of it, but when they're fighting, does it change anything knowing their undefeated? Like, I don't know. Does it change the way they approach anything as it gets later into a fight? Is that part of their identity? And I don't think I've ever asked anybody that while they were still undefeated. I'm always curious if that changes anything about the way they approach a fight or while they're in a fight.
I was undefeated. I got to the UFC at 6-0. I was an undefeated amateur. I was 6-0 as a pro. I got to the UFC. My UFC debut, I got there and I get knocked out in the first round. And after that, you know, after that fight, I really had to reassess everything, you know. Before that fight, I was like, I don't need to watch tape. I don't need to do nothing. I'm going to go in there. I'm going to steamroll these guys. I'm going to do what I do, you know. It's never failed me before. And then I lost that fight. And I think that was huge in my growth, you know. After that fight, I really became calculated. You know, I talked with Ray. We really sat down and we're like, we need to go into these fights and be more calculated. You know, I got a lot of weapons. I got at this level, you know, I really have to watch the film, break the guys down and have a game plan and be a more calculated killer. You know, I'm always a killer, but I'm a more calculated killer.
Hey, I'm sorry, Jimmy, maybe next time he has it, me and you can get invited to Frivola Fest.
Oh, you're right through, Matt. You already know. I got the badminton net set up for you.
Explain, please, to my friend Jimmy what this is.
So every summer, you know, I live right on the water in Huntington, you know, a beautiful spot in Long Island. And I have, you know, I have a nice, a big old party every summer, right around like June, July, you know, and it's beautiful out. And we do, we get after it all day, all night. And it's always a good time. I always have my annually badminton tournament. And it's fun. You guys definitely got to come this summer.
I suck at badminton.
That runs it. You heard your dad's a big party animal there.
Oh, yeah. We have fun. And my dad's the gatekeeper on the badminton court. You don't get a shot at me until you beat my dad at badminton.
Not to sound like an imbecile, which I've been called. What exactly is badminton? I'm trying to think.
Badminton with a D.
And it's not tennis, but it's like a racket, and it's almost like a little volleyball net, and you hit this little birdie back and forth.
Oh, it's with a birdie.
Yeah, with a little birdie.
Hey, Maddie, I have a little birdie.
Yes, anyway. I've been called little bird.
Yes,
to the discomfort of everyone.
Jimmy's just gonna leave. He's just gonna leave one day and not come back. Little birdie, Jimmy. Oh, what is pickleball? Everybody's always badminton.
Yes.
What is pickleball for people that don't know how to do tennis?
Yeah.
Or what is it?
It looks like it's like tennis and like almost like just a smaller like version of tennis. It looks fun.
We ask the hard questions here on UFC Unfiltered. Man, Maddie, listen, man, I'm so fucking excited for you. Jimmy, what else? I mean, this is part of a freaking amazing card. Madison Square Garden, Jimmy's going to be there with his nephew. And do me a favor, Matt, when you talk to Coach Longo, it's time to get his hip done.
Yeah.
Listen, yeah. I don't want to put him on blast, but I will. He's walking worse than I did when my knees were fucked up, you know?
Yeah. He's still getting it done, though. I mean,
he is, but I don't like to see my guy walking like that.
Yeah,
it's depressing.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Listen. What else? What else we got, Jimmy?
Does it feel? I mean, you fought at the Garden before. Do you like, and I always ask guys this when they fight in kind of their hometown, is it, do you like coming from home, or is there something about the road that gives you more peace away from the family and away from like the day-to-day responsibility?
I love fighting at home, you know, especially New York City, Madison Square Garden, you know, it doesn't get bigger than that for a kid from Long Island. You know, I'm going to my gas station. I'm going to my local bagel spot, my local deli. Like, hey, Steamroller, when's the next fight? And I tell them, yeah, in Madison Square Garden in November.
Right.
Their eyes just light up. You know, I got friends, my family, everyone's coming out to the city. We're going to have a great time. You know, I love traveling, you know, but there's nothing like a nice fight, you know, back at home. So I love it.
Well, have a great fight, Matt. It's always great. This fight is an incredible fight. Ottman is very dangerous, but then again, so are you. So, yeah, I think you have a great game plan, and I can't wait to see it. I'll be there this week.
Fuck yeah, Matty. Bring it home, Matty. Matty, there's no, I know you like to put the soup bones on them, but there's nothing wrong with bringing home a lamb for me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I will do. Trust me. Thank you for everything, Matt. You know, I've been getting amazing training at Sarah BJJ with you and with everybody, and you know, I like to think that's one of my second home now, and I love
100%. You know, we all love you, man. We're behind you, Matty. All right, let's get it done.
I'm gonna get it done. Thanks, guys.
Great talking to you as always, man. Take care, Matt.
Later.
This episode of UFC Unfiltered is brought to you by Crypto.com, the official crypto partner of UFC. You've definitely seen their logo on our UFC gear, and crypto is something I'm getting into, so this is really a helpful, helpful site. With over 10 million users around the world, Crypto.com is the fastest growing crypto app, letting you easily buy and sell more than 150 cryptocurrencies. You can even buy Bitcoin with as little as $1. Crypto.com also offers the most popular crypto card in the world. The Crypto.com Visa card offers up to 8% back on most purchases, and it comes with amazing perks. 100% rebate for your Netflix, Spotify, and Amazon Prime subscriptions. If you already own some crypto, did you know that Crypto.com offers some of the most competitive reward rates of the industry? You can get up to 8.5% on your Bitcoin or Ethereum, 12% on your USDC, and more. Find out how much you can earn by visiting Crypto.com. Get $25 when you apply for a Crypto.com metal Visa card on the Crypto.com app using code UFC25. Again, it's $25 when you apply for the card using code UFC25. It's first come, first serve, so act fast. Download the Crypto.com app now on the App Store or Google Play.
Hey, that he doesn't look at that and get it. That's a kid that don't get intimidated, you know? He's just crazy enough to get it done, Jimmy.
Yeah.
But
I talk a lot about records, and if a guy doesn't do anything, we saw with Tuivasa, who was undefeated, I want to say 10-0, and then he lost three straight, but then he wound up righting the ship. And I sometimes think that's almost this invincible thing that becomes someone's identity. And I didn't think of it in the way Matt just described it, which is, yeah, you don't watch tape as much, or you don't do certain things because you think you're just going to go in there and impose your will. So that was really interesting to hear from him. Alex Bejeda will be on shortly. As soon as he's in the room, we'll bring him on. He's fighting, of course, Adesanya in the main event. What do you think about that fight? That's a really, really interesting fight. And it's very hard to pick against Adesanya. But then again, we've seen what Bejeda can do with that with those 4-ounce gloves. I mean, he's very dangerous.
Do you think Adesanya will add in a takedown?
I mean...
And if maybe. He does, what is the Portuguese word for sissy? Is he going to call him a sissy? Jimmy, you're so silly. Is he going to call him a sissy? Is the first person that shoots going to be called, you know, Yella?
No, I mean, first of all, that's not Adesanya's ground, his game. I mean... Is it possible that he would just to throw it, but for what? To maybe steal the round at the end? Because I don't see him doing tremendous damage on the ground anyway.
Why don't you see that, my little bird?
I just haven't seen it yet. I haven't seen it yet. And I'm not saying he can't do it. I've just never seen it. He's such a great athlete, but I think he keeps it standing up unless it's at the end of the round just to make a statement and steal a round.
These city kickboxing guys, they're smart.
Yeah.
I'm smart. Sorry, that was Alfredo from The Godfather.
I know who it was.
You want to do it? You do it.
Not dumb like everyone says. Smart. I want respect.
It's the way Pop wanted it.
Well, it's not the way I wanted it.
That's not how he's Jimmy. Stop it. Now you fucking Jimmy. Jimmy.
Yeah, that's how he said it.
No. That was Clint Eastwood, what you did right. That's not the way I wanted it. That wasn't
the way Pop. By the way.
What were you going to say?
I guess where I ate. Can you see that on the thing?
Louis Italian. What is that, good? Louis Italian American restaurant?
Louis in the Bronx.
I meant Louis.
It's Louis. Come on, Matt. We're talking about The Godfather.
Is that a really good place?
No, this is the actual head from the movie.
Oh, but what's Louis?
That's the horse head from the movie.
But who's Louis?
Louis is the restaurant that Michael shot Salazzo in. That's the actual sign.
Now I feel like a Salazzo.
That's all right. Do you know what we ought to do, Matt? Before Alex comes in, let's do a couple of picks.
Oh, Jimmy, why not? Let's go.
Yeah, I mean, this is such an incredible card. We can do the main event after we speak with Pajeda.
You're right.
Maybe it would help. I'll do the co-main, Carlos Barz against Zhang Weili.
Well, Jimmy, why don't we just go one before that and do Dustin, and then we'll do three. Dustin Poirier versus Mike Chandler. Let's go. Jimmy. You're steering the ship. What do you want to do?
Not at all, buddy. I'm more than willing to do that. We steer together. Our little hands are on top of each other steering this boat.
Yes.
Right into a cliff.
My hands aren't little. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I'm going with Michael Chandler.
It's
my decision. Sprinkle in the takedowns. There's nothing wrong with them.
I think, and I love Poirier. I think that Chandler has been so close on a. I think Chandler stops him in the second round.
Oh, so we're both together on this.
As crazy as that is. Well, you think that Chandler's going to win by a decision. I say he stops him.
Well, Jimmy, I know it's crazy, but it's true. Jimmy, if you get stuck between the moon and New York City, you know this song. It's from Arthur. I know it's crazy. Jimmy, hold on. A little head bob. Ready? But it's true. Oh, Jimmy, ready? Arthur, ready?
No.
If you get stuck between the moon and New York City, I know it's crazy.
Yep.
Hold on, Jimmy. Ready? Ready for this? Ready?
Yeah, I'm not worried.
Ready? But it's true. But, Jimmy, this is cringe? Is it cringe?
No, I mean, it's cringy? Honestly very nice.
Hey, you know what that? Who knows who that is?
Yes, Christopher Cross.
Christopher Cross! Jimmy!
Of course I know who that is.
Jimmy, Christopher Cross, the women would hear him sing, and then they then end up seeing him. And then he was a little big.
And oh, like, was he fat?
I remember, back in the day, Howard Stern did like a thing about, he had him on. And he's like, oh man, the girls gets excited and then they see you. He was kind of rude back in the day, Howard Stern. He's pretty funny.
They see how fat you are.
Like, what do they say? And then they see a big fat guy. Yeah. But you know, but from the movie Arthur,
I like the remake better.
No, first of all, Arthur 2 on the Rocks though. Oh, the remake with Russell Brand?
Yeah, where they have Helen, I forget her name
she's not a good
as
she's
Hobson.
Not a good, there's only one Hobson. And yes, I like that his mom is like, was it his mom or his grandmother's like, listen, you want to get your fortune, you know, marry this one and have an affair with the other one. Basically, fuck the other one, but still get your fortune.
Yes.
But he didn't want to do it. He wanted Liza Minnelli. And there was a scene when he left the bride, right? Listen to this scene. UFC Unfiltered Army, their Instagram, they're going to find this. There's a scene, Jimmy. When Arthur at the freaking, what do you call the thing in the
church?
At the church.
The altar.
The altar. He left this other girl at the altar because it's not a Jimmy.
Susan Johnson.
Yes, he left Susan Johnson at the altar to go with Liza Minnelli. You know what I mean? Before she hit, you know, she was a little wacky back then. But she looked a little, you know, she looked like she'd be fun in the old Anyway, but he's a little wacky. He caught a fucking shoplifting and stuff. He's like, hey, look at this girl. But anyway, a little dark side. Arr! Susan Johnson didn't get freaky like that. A little shoplifting. But anyway, so Arthur leaves Susan Johnson, Jimmy, at the altar. So the father, Mr. Johnson, does not like this, and he's a fucking psychopath. So he goes in the back. And you hear a commotion. So he like must have thrown him, and see Arthur on the floor. Yes. And then the girl he loves comes in there, Liza Minnelli, and she's like, oh my God. And then all of a sudden, Jimmy, Mr. Johnson takes the knife out of the cheese. Do you remember this?
Yes, because he thought he might want a piece of cheese.
No, Jimmy, you're being a bad little boy. This is what he says. He takes the knife out of the cheese. He's mad. So he takes the knife out of the cheese. Then you got Arthur, Dudley Moore on the floor. He's going, he's taking the knife out of the cheese. You think he wants a piece of cheese? He doesn't obviously want a piece of cheese.
No, of course not.
Funny about it. You know, it's so funny because he doesn't want. It's a good show. Jimmy, isn't it a good movie?
Yes, and the man's name was Bert Johnson. And he says, is this the slut you've disgraced my daughter for?
And he's like, and he's all drunk. He's like, slut. Right. How's he saying? How did Dudley Moore say it?
Slut. And everybody in the church hears it. It's a very funny film.
It was good. But then they did the old cash grab. They made Arthur 2 on the rocks.
Which was better. And then the remake was the best one. I agree with you, Matt. 100%.
I say you watch the first one and you pretend the other two didn't happen, like I do with a lot of movies.
I disagree. I think that's very harsh. Well, co-main, Wang Xiaoli against Carla Esparza.
Go ahead. I know what I'm doing. Go ahead.
Yeah, me too. I did not love the way. I mean, that Rose Nama Yunus fight was not a good fight.
It was just no
real movement. No,
it's true. But Carla won, though.
I'm not saying she didn't win, but I just didn't enjoy the fight. And I think Zhang stops her. And I think she stops her in the third. I think she gets a hold of her and gets one of those fucking rock fists on her and stops her.
What does what does he mean being stuck between the moon and New York City? What exactly? I know he says it's crazy, but it's true. What is so crazy? What is he talking about?
He's talking about Apollo 13, where they said there was a problem because Jim Lovell couldn't land on the moon and they were between the moon and New York City and they didn't know what to do. So they had to use the moon's gravity and trajectory to fire them back.
Carla Esparza.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say that she has enough experience now, and I feel that she's gonna implement her game plan of getting that. Even if she doesn't get down Wei Li and hold her down, even if she gets an up and down, if she gets her up against the cage, she's gonna choose her openings. If she gets past, this is an if because Zhang Wei Li is obviously a former champion and very, very powerful. I believe if she gets her grappling early, even if she makes her anti-grapple, the sprawling, the getting up, and it will do enough to slow her down enough to make it take a little bit of the zing out of her punches, where I believe Carla is going to be able to get a decision. I know it's crazy.
You might be right. You might be right.
I might be wrong. I might be crazy, but Jimmy, it just might be a lunatic you're looking for. Did you know that Billy Joel originally was going to make Allentown, we're living here in Allentown, Levittown? Not the same, and I don't think it really could. This might be a rumor. You guys can look that up, but I'm pretty sure I heard this. And being a Long Island guy, you know.
And, you know, we didn't start the fire was originally going to be we didn't fight the fire.
My father, can I tell you this a little story?
Sure.
My father.
By the way, Piano Man. Sorry, Matt. Piano Man, the original name of that? What? The ukulele fella.
Jimmy.
All right, your dad. Sorry.
It's not the ukulele. That's the dude. The Piano Man.
Yeah.
You know, sing us a song, Mr. What is
it? The ukulele fella. Yeah, the ukulele fella was the original. It was about a guy who played the ukulele in a Long Island bar. And you don't even want to know what Captain Jack, because Captain Jack was actually a corporal.
Jimmy, my father, before he became a police officer,
yes.
You know, he had me very young. He had me at 19. Okay. My wife, my wife, she wasn't born then.
Yes, no.
My mother, she already had two kids, you know, my sister and my brother from a previous marriage. So then I come along. And so my sister, who's 4 years older than me, a Billy Joel fan, my father, used before he became a cop, worked all night security at CVS in the city.
CVS, the pharmacy.
No, Jimmy. Not
CBS.
CBS.
Oh, okay.
The television, sure. Television station. Okay?
Yes.
So when he'd work all night, so Billy Joel was there because I think he was signed to CBS or doing something. So he goes up to him and he goes, Mr. Joel, you have a call at the front desk. He's like, well, you know what you're talking about. And he's walking out. It's like out of a movie. He brings him over and he got he had my daughter on the phone. He woke her up. Not my daughter. I'm out of my mind. He had my sister on the phone. My mom, he called up the house, got my sister on the phone. And he's like, I'm sorry, Mr. Joel. It's my daughter. I just wanted to, he's a big fan. So he was very cool, man. He got on the phone. He goes, oh, you're from East Meadow. Oh, that's like by the jail. He was very down to earth.
Oh, that's nice.
So that's a nice little story with the set.
Yeah, I've only met him once. I don't know Billy Joel, but he's, he's just great.
I thought you were talking about Ralphie Serra. He loves your sick sense of humor. My father's a sick pervert.
Oh, good. Thank you.
He goes, Jimmy's funny. Him. He goes, he's funny. He goes, he's dirty. I go, I know. I know you like that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Tell your dad that's how I really am, too. I'm very happy we got Alex Bejeda. This is great news. Sometimes these little signals get crossed. We're very happy to have Alex joining us.
There they are.
Now that the moment is here, you're getting this fight. Did you expect to be fighting for the championship this soon to your UFC career?
Well, I expected that to the history, you know what I mean? But after this fight, I'll be fighting for the belt.
Now, I have a question. If Izzy goes for a takedown, is he a coward? Is he yellow? Ask him, my friend, please, my big friend, please.
No, I don't think so, because we're talking about MMA, né?
We talk about MMA. If that's his strategy, good luck.
And obviously, Alex, you faced pressure before in your career, but this is Madison Square Garden, the main event, fighting for the UFC championship. Is this experience any different for you, or is there any added pressure on you for this event as opposed to other ones?
Well, absolutely, but not something that could, you know, hurt me on a way off pressure or anything like that, but ready for everything.
How do you think your approach to Adesanya is different than other fighters' approach to him? You fought him twice, you've won twice. How do you think you're going to approach him differently than other guys in the division have?
Minha técnica é diferenciada. Eu sou cara que...
Well, different than all the other guys, my techniques, the way that I fight, you know what I mean? I'm very loosened up on the cage, very repetitive. So I think it makes a difference on me and my style.
With the history of Madison Square Garden, with the greats like Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier, is he familiar with the history, and does it mean anything to be fighting in such a legendary place?
Com certeza, é bem lembrado, porque eu assisti essas lutas e, pô, eu vou...
Well, absolutely. Even fun that you mentioned, because you say that he wants to put a face on that fight like Joe Frazier. You know, like he used to fight. He wants to go and get it done. And fight on a place that so many legendary names fought before, he's an honor.
And what is Alex's impression of what Israel has accomplished in the UFC? He's such a well-rounded striker. He's beaten ground fighters. He's dropped guys like Derek Brunson and Paulo Costa, and he can also go the distance with a guy like Cannonier, Whitaker. What is his impression of what Israel has accomplished in the UFC?
Não, com certeza é muito importante, né, para ele.
Well, props to him, well deserved. You know what I mean? All the five title defense that he had, everything that he beat, everything that he conquered. But now I'm here, man. Now I'm here.
Every fight is its own unique experience. But fighting him twice and beating him, does he feel that he has his number?
Ah, sim. Por toda a história, né?
Well, everything counts. All the history and stuff, but what's really going to make a difference is how much I train, my strategy, and what I do on that day.
Right, because, you know, it's hard to beat somebody three times, but Volkanovski did beat Max three times. So it is possible to beat somebody three times, but you can't rely on the other two fights to dictate what's going to happen on Saturday night.
No, com certeza.
Well, it's a matter of, you know, styles make fights, right? Adesanya style don't match Alex, you know what I mean? Same way Whitaker say, verbally admitted, own it, they say that his style don't match with his, it's kind of hard. But he just don't want to say, he doesn't want to recognize that. But I, like Matt say, Alex got the numbers.
Do you see a lot of differences in him from when you faced him to the tape you've watched now since he's been in the UFC? Do you see a lot of improvements, or is his game a lot different, or is his movement a lot different?
No difference.
No difference. Same guy, he's saying. That's good. Now, listen, your sister is a martial artist, and she's transitioning to from kickboxing like yourself to mixed martial arts. How exciting is that? Are you excited for that? For her debut in mixed martial arts?
Tô muito empolgado. Ela tá treinando super bem.
She's training really good. I'm excited for her. You know what I mean? She's young on the sport of fighting. She's young on the sport of MMA, but I know she's going to do super well.
What did your parents think of that? That you're both fighting?
É, nós somos seis irmãos, né?
Well, no, my parents, they understand. You know what I mean? They know it's hard. They know fighting, anything can happen. And they saw me fighting before. You know, they know anything can happen. Father being some corners for him already. Now he's going to be corner him this Saturday too. So it's going to be cool.
And knockouts are great, and everybody loves an early knockout. But do you think that the fight with Bruno Silva that went the distance was helpful for you to go the distance? Was that a good learning experience, or was there anything valuable in that fight for you because you went the full fight?
Com certeza.
Well, absolutely helped me to see what I'm capable of. Obviously, going there just knocked everybody out. All those three fights would have been easier, but knowing that I can go three rounds and anything can happen in a dangerous way, it's good to me to see what I can do.
And last question is, has the pacing or again, you're obviously a very trained athlete, but this is a 5-round fight. And what is the approach any different? Or do you think that he is going to try to bring you into later rounds? Do you think that that's going to factor in for his strategy at all? Adesanya's, I mean.
Well, the fact that he's been saying stuff makes it seem like he wants to bring the fight to the 5 rounds. But I train hard. I'm ready for everything. For me to get tired in 5 rounds, I got to throw more strikes than he does. I'm very patient, very, you know, pick my style. So I'm ready for anything, bro.
Alex, congratulations on such a fast rise and such great fights so far. And good luck on Saturday. This is an incredible main event. Everybody is looking forward to this, and you know, I hope you have a great fight.
Muito obrigado.
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, thank you guys very much. Appreciate it, and good luck on Saturday.
Jimmy, I was going to tell you, you match eyes with him. He looks through, even through the Zoom. He looks through you.
That's a type of stare that if you're in a nightclub and you have to.
Jimmy, don't stare him down, Jimmy.
No. Although Adesanya's fearless too. I mean, he wasn't afraid of Paulo Costa. He wasn't afraid of Yoel Romero. He's not afraid of Brunson or Canada. I don't think he's afraid of anybody. I mean, and I'm
so excited.
And by the way, sorry to interrupt you, Matt. I think that because Costa is so dangerous and kind of intimidating when he met with Adesanya, and I think that they had that exchange and he realized Adesanya's not intimidated at all. And listen, I don't think he's intimidated by Alex either.
You're not, and Alex is not going to be intimidated by him.
No, I totally agree.
This is what I'm going to say. Israel Adesanya, this is his home. Don't get me wrong. Alex Pereira, I think Israel Adesanya is going to be circling away from that left hook saying, you have to beat me with the right side because that left hook, I'm not going anywhere near it. And don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if you see some sort of takedown, some sort of rolling leg lock, Ashigarami. These city boxing guys, they're not like me. They're smart. Mm-hmm. So I say Israel Adesanya. by decision. I'm going to pick you up in my big arms, Jimmy.
Wow.
And you're going to be just like this. And you're going to go, put me down. I'm going to go, no. But go ahead.
I am taking, Jimmy? Since you're taking him, and you take
my decision. Yes.
I will take Alex Pajeda by.
Okay, this is exciting.
Stoppage.
Sometimes, Jimmy, your little mannerisms, I want to reach right through my Zoom and get a hold of that cheek, and you go, "I hurt." It's like the annoying uncle that used to squeeze it too hard. Jimmy, this is going to be a great fucking card. It's this.
Yeah, it really, of course it is. But since you're picking, in all honesty, I probably would have picked Israel to win, because until he loses, I can't pick against him. And the Błachowicz fight, even, he was still. Błachowicz, I think that fight hurt Błachowicz more than Israel as far as perception is concerned.
So this is fucking exciting. It's exciting. Can we give a proper plug for it before we get out?
All right, 281, as you know. I will be there. Hopefully, I have requested the boss to get me tickets, and I'm hoping they are good seats near the boss. But I can't wait. It's in Madison Square Garden. The early prelims, which fucking yes, I'm going to be there. We don't care about West Coast time. 6 p.m. Eastern time. It's New York time. The early prelims, the fucking prelims are 8 o'clock. The main card is 10 o'clock on pay-per-view. Honestly, Frankie Edwards, kind of swan song Frankie fight against Chris. Frankie Edgar. Jesus, did I say Frankie Edgar? Sorry. Frankie Edgar, of course. And Dan Cooker is fighting Claudio Puelas to open up the main card. I'm talking very quickly, but we all love Frankie. And the fact that he's going out in New York, I mean, who isn't happy for him? And I just hope Frankie Edgar has a great fight.
We love Frankie Edgar. He's a legend regardless. He's a future Hall of Famer and everything else.
Dominic Reyes, Ryan Spann, a fucking McCann against Blanchfield. This is such a good card. Matt Frivola, of course. Karolina Kowalkiewicz is fighting. I mean, it's just an incredible card from top to bottom. So start at 6 o'clock. Get your friends. Eat your fat fucking face off and watch these fights and get the pay-per-view.
Jimmy, love you so much. You, pal. I will talk to you.
All right.
Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's Mix and Match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.